During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
So Ippei never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry, and to the representatives in my camp, he told, Ippei told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt.
Upon
further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ippei who was in debt and told my representatives that I was paying off those debts. And this all of this has been a complete lie.
I'm on Team Ippei. The Fall Guy.
Oh, he's going to get taken care of.
Like, taken care of?
No. Like, he's going to take the fall and get paid.
And my whole thing is if the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani is involved, who else is in that ledger with that bookie in L.A.?
Oh, who knows?
Come on.
I mean,
there's going to be some other...
The thing that can't
I'm not saying sports people, but some other.
There you go. The thing that can't be disputed without this whole thing is that whoever's making the bets, they really suck.
They're that
$4.5 million.
Yeah. Right.
You really suck at gambling.
They need to get the Jonte Porter tip. Somebody needs to help them out.
But if he's going to take the fall for stealing millions of dollars from Ohtani, doesn't that involve, like, going to jail?
Yeah, probably.
The most interesting thing for me is the immediate about-face at the beginning of this when he was granted an interview with ESPN while they were in Korea, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, that's not what happened. He stole the money. And then he made, what did it say, 8 or 9 separate deposits of $500,000? That doesn't raise any red flags. But how do you not know that that's getting paid out of your account?
So I've seen people, now you play this song. Now this is a song, all right?
Well, I'm not the kind.
Just crank it up.
Santel, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a 9. So fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine.
You can go see the new Ryan Gosling movie.
You know, I saw the trailer and it. I said, I will never watch this. And then I saw the review and they said it's fantastic.
Yeah. So. We'll probably watch it.
It made me mad that I wanted to stick to the bridge a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new Roadhouse?
No. I've seen enough people that said it was awful. I don't know.
It's awful, but it's funny because you got Post Malone's in there, and then you got Conor McGregor.
I'm just going to be honest with you. If I'm going to take 2 hours to watch Roadhouse, I'm going to watch the original.
Fair enough.
That's just, you know.
You know what I watched last night?
What?
I'm curious to see what you thought about it. Sly on Netflix. Have you seen that?
I'm waiting to watch that with Richie.
Okay.
So we can get our schedules together.
I won't say anything.
So, yeah, I know it's going to be good, but I promise Richie I'd watch up with him.
I watched that. I was like, I'm sure Steven's seen this.
I probably
see what's about,
you know.
Sly the Family Stone.
Crank this up. When you star on a TV show and you sing the theme, you're a badass Lee Majors. Eastwood looks so fine. This was a great show. Although I didn't like Howie. He screwed everything up all the time.
We all have a role.
Right. But I got the best first ladies. Some days I've got almost... I mean, who else does it? Who else also sings the theme to the TV show? A morning
dive with Jackie Alan Smith.
Are you a Fall Guy fan?
I was a Fall Guy fan.
You know one else that I was on, I saw the other day, was Greatest American Hero. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. play that. I like that ditty.
Greatest American Hero.
Greatest American Hero.
Who was
hero.
The star of that? William Cott.
I would have to see his face. Yes. Maybe.
Oh, Lord. Yes, William Cott.
Yeah.
Cott.
I like that.
K-A-T-T.
Am I watching on Netflix now? Three Body Problem.
Oh, it's great.
Sci-fi.
It's great. Just
so should I start that?
Yes. Just got going on it.
It's great. It's the two of the writers from Game of Thrones.
Correct.
It's yes. great. I just finished all 8 episodes.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're done already?
Yes.
Dude, it just came out.
I know.
Have you slept?
Yep.
I started the...
it's good.
What did I tell you I started that you told me to watch?
The Gentleman.
Gentleman.
Yeah.
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 I was a fan so far.
Yeah.
So...
I've not finished that yet. I'm about 5 episodes into that.
Does it keep up the pace? Does it continue to be into the 5th episode?
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. I have to watch it what time I watch it at because it causes me stress.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it gives me anxiety. Like the brother?
That's how I was with the bear.
Dude, I can't stand him. One episode, I can't stand him.
I know. And he just gives me anxiety. So I have to watch it when the sun's out, or else I don't want to go to bed in that state. It's not like scary or anything. It's just, you know.
I've seen people trying to explain this away and tweeting out, like, I don't think the normal people realize how many pro athletes have no idea who handles their money and what happens to their money. Now, you've been around a lot of guys that made a lot of money. Does that sound right? Does that? Something that you have experienced?
I think it's changed a lot now. I mean, it's been 20 years. I mean, you have the ability to know real time, like with smartwatches and all this stuff, to know what's going on with your account if something is amiss. 25 years ago, I mean, you don't have access to your accounts unless you get a statement or online, you know, all those kind of things when the internet was first and cell phones and all that. So now, I mean, how could you not know, unless you just have so much money you don't care, you know, that you, and you would think that anybody that's got their money.
It's also something else that I've learned over the years. Money and being a great athlete doesn't mean you're smart.
That's 100%. Well, then that's the thing with.
You know, just throwing that out there.
If you know you're not smart.
Right.
And get smart people around you.
Sometimes you don't know you're not smart. Yeah. Those are the most dangerous ones.
And sometimes
there's guys out there that think they're smart and they're not.
Well, I mean, and sometimes when you get a whole lot of money, you get surrounded by a lot of people that'll tell you how smart you are, which makes you think that you're real smart, and then they'll take that money.
And I know it happens all the time too, and it's ludicrous sometimes that you don't have at least one smart person around you that you can trust.
But that person might be telling you stuff you don't want to hear.
Well, that person turns on you because money changes everybody.
One of those guys, I don't know the name, that keeps popping in my head is Curt Schilling.
Hmm.
How much money did he
blow? Not quite as smart as he thought.
I don't know if it wasn't that Curt Schilling isn't smart. It's that he's just kind of a pompous and just thought that his way is going to make it make sense and work and all that stuff to the point of lost it all.
One form of intelligence is knowing what you don't know. Right?
when you think you're the smartest guy in their lives, it's like I tell kids all the time, like when you're talking about how good you are, you're really not that good. When other people are talking about how good you are, hey, you're pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start thinking about, man, I'm the smartest man in the room. Or check yourself
before you wreck yourself.
It's amazing to me how that still happens in this day and age. That, and I never made a ton of money, so I mean, to find somebody in your inner circle that's smart that you trust apparently can be a difficult thing to do. And you know, money does seedy things to a lot of people. Even people that are in your family and you trust and all that stuff. So
what's your gut tell you about this Ohtani thing? Do you think he's really oblivious to all this? Oblivious to everything that happened?
You have got to know that kind of money is leaving your account. Now, I don't know. Just what I've seen with him over the last 5 years, man, hard worker, I mean, really respects the game, all those kind of things. So, I mean, I think he may be oblivious to the gambling debt and all that kind of things, but this is one of his most tightest of friends, and for him to be deceived by that kind of guy, I mean, I'm sure he feels like a dumbass right now, because that's been his, you know, one of his best, most closest confidants over the last 6 years, and this just happened.
So
now
you think
now he's playing like, oh man,
it's like Lisa, okay, Lisa Guerrero. Tweeted this out. She covered sports for a long time. She says, for those who don't believe Ohtani, let me say this. After spending 10 years in the NFL, 13 years as a sportscaster, and married to an MLB player for 14 years, you'd be surprised at how many star athletes don't know who's handling their money, how much they really have, or how much they spend. I could totally believe that.
Well, isn't Ohtani the kind of guy, supposedly what Buster's told us is like, he just wants to live in an apartment by the stadium so he can. He just wants to go play
simplify
baseball.
His life.
Like, he does not really interested in anything else.
And I'll say this again. We don't know these guys. Yeah. We don't know these people. Yeah. We know what they want us to know.
Yeah.
That's like saying, well, I know somebody pretty well. I'm friends with them on Facebook. You don't know them at all.
That doesn't count.
You know
the representative.
What they are presenting to you.
Yeah.
And this is the truth. Professional athletes, we know what is presented to us.
Right.
We don't know. And so you can say all these things about Ohtani. I don't know. You right. don't know. What's he like behind closed doors? No idea.
Well, shoot, sometimes you don't even know your own family. You know, like you think and you're a lot closer to them than you are some professional athlete that lives halfway across
the country.
What do
they say? Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
Jake, could you vet that clip I just sent you? Don't give it away. Don't tell who it is. Just make sure there's no F-bombs in there. Then I will then play it. Go ahead.
Do you buy it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need. You know, they're doing a very good job of controlling the narrative. But it's just like, you know, part of me finds it hard to believe that he wouldn't know anything about that money, but also what Lisa Guerrero said.
Yeah.
There's some athletes that have that we'd be shocked that they have no grasp on their financial situation, but also that, you know, the way he's been painted, you would think that, well, he would know. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those situations.
I don't know.
Like, as a parent, when I can tell my kids are up to something fishy, but I'm not really sure, and a lot of the stories they're telling me don't really match up.
By the way, who's with him?
You know what I mean?
Matt Thrash.
Who's Matt Thrash?
I don't know.
Okay.
But he made sure to state his name.
I don't know who this is, a very portly man named Matt Thrash.
Okay.
I know a Matt Thrasher.
Okay.
Sturdy guy.
Let me look at this room before we do this. This is only about 20 seconds.
Who is this? Is this Pete?
Of course it is. Matt Thrash.
I saw this last night.
Certainly Matt Thrash talking with Pete Rose about the Ohtani situation. Let's hear what Pete
Hey, guys.
Rose.
Matt Thrash here, enjoying some March Madness with my great friend Pete Rose. And we were talking about the current goings-on in baseball right now, and Pete wanted to mention something.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
There you have it.
Oh, you might not be wrong.
Yeah.
This discussion came up last night, lessons and stuff. Do you think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. Absolutely.
Steven?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Nate?
I don't care. I mean,
that wasn't the question.
For everything my take is everything that he did on the field, I don't even care if he gambled on it off, whatever. I mean, right. Just what he did on the field as a player and how he played the game.
Here's the deal.
No brainer. I'm just going to stir up something.
You want to go back.
He's gotten more mileage out of not being in the Hall of Fame than he would be. So my
for him.
You really
want to
go back and
care.
Dig into right. the private lives of some of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
Ty Cobb came up last night as well.
I'm not the arbitrator of morality.
No, I don't think that the Hall of Fame should be the arbitrator of morality either. The only part about it is, with Pete Rose, is that there's a time and place for everything. at the time, when was going on with the history of baseball, they had come down with a hardline stance against gambling because they thought it was going to ruin the sport when the scandal happened. So they had said it's a lifetime ban. He knew that was a lifetime ban. Everybody knew it, and he did it anyway. Now, maybe they should just ban him from playing baseball and put him in the Hall of Fame. That's probably what they should have done. You can't work in baseball anymore, but, you know, you could be in the Hall of Fame. That's probably what they should have done because his career was certainly a Hall of Fame career. Absolutely. And there's worse guys, you know.
I mean, you can go back now and put him in.
Right. Yeah. The Hall of Fame's easy. A joke. The Hall of Fame's a joke. I mean, like.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at who's in it and who's not now. Voters vote based on which guys they thought were swell guys. You know, which guys would talk to
them. Which guys they thought were swole guys.
Yeah, and which guys they think were on steroids versus which ones they don't think were on steroids without proof. And it
wasn't illegal. I mean, it was not against the rules, though. Yeah, gambling was against the rules, but doing steroids was not against the rules.
That's kind of my point. It's like the one defense you have for the Pete Rose thing is it was clear as day in the rules at that point in time. They made it very obvious to everybody. This is a huge priority to us. We're going to ban anybody from – because they wanted to scare people away from this kind of stuff.
So a question I have, too, is Pete Rose not allowed on the ballot for the Veterans Committee? Somebody, I mean, they obviously put some people in. I think they put in Harold Baines most recently.
It's pretty damn hard to sit there and have a hardline stance on that now when you're just got gambling all over your sport.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
advertising, taking advertising dollars for gambling.
It reminds me a little bit of like we're talking about NCAA stuff, and you know, Kelvin Sampson was you know, barred from coaching college basketball for all this time, and the stuff that he was doing is child's play compared to what's completely legal and out in the open
texting
now.
Texting or making
you
a
know,
phone call.
But
here's the deal. Of my, let me see. Let me make sure this is correct in my mind. To me, the best player I ever watched was George Brett. So remove George Brett because I'm ridiculous when it comes to George Brett. So I'm biased and you can't. Outside of that, the of my life of watching baseball and loving baseball and growing up and being obsessed with baseball cards and going to baseball games and my 35-year weird obsession with rotisserie baseball, just loving baseball.
Stratomatic.
Right? Oh, all of it.
Yes.
The greatest pitcher of my lifetime that I've seen, Roger Clemens. The greatest hitter of my lifetime that I've seen, Barry Bonds.
Right.
And if they're not in the Hall of Fame, then I don't know what to tell you.
That's why I say
I think
like it's
they
a
should,
joke.
And I think they should both be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And that makes me an idiot? Well, then, great. That's not the only thing that makes me an idiot. But it's real hard for me to even talk about any of this stuff when you tell me the greatest hitter I've ever seen and the greatest pitcher that I've ever seen and neither one of them are in there.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
And we also heard from Mike Boddicker things like, you know, Eddie Murray didn't get as many votes, not for anything that he had to do with him being a good player or even accusations of cheating, just because he was a meanie to the reporters that vote on.
Well, and they hold the cards.
Yeah.
That's what sucks.
And that's outrageous. That's just outrageous. That's not what the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about. So it's,
yeah,
I mean.
The criteria is interesting on how they do it, you know. And that's never going to change. So,
I had this conversation, you know, with somebody a couple weeks ago about the college basketball stuff, you know, and the guys that used to supposedly, you know, pay players. And, you know, my response is like, what blue blood program wasn't involved in that? And the response to that was, well, if your kid was cheating in school and their answer to you was, well, everybody else is doing it, would you say that's okay? And I mean, I don't know about the analogy of it. I'm not a fan of cheating, but if you're holding your kid to the standard of getting A's and the only way to get A's is to do what everybody else is doing, it's kind of a no-win situation, isn't it? The reason Barry Bonds got into steroids, if you read the book Game of Shadows, is because he was looking around as a 30-30 guy that was a sure Hall of Famer, and he was looking at everybody give all the love to Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, and he said to himself, well, if everybody wants home runs – And that's what this is all about. I could get on juice like those guys, and I could become a home run hitter. And damned if he didn't become a better home run hitter than both of them. And is that great? No. But who do you blame? The whole league was running Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire out there because it was saving baseball from their stupid labor stoppage from a couple years before that.
Correct.
And then we're going to turn around and morally judge, you know, the guys that are like, well, wait a second. If I want to compete with the other guys that you're all saying are the best, that's what you got to do. You know, that's – I do think the Pete Rose thing's a little different, again, because that one was blatantly a big priority to them. And I think it brings up a good question now, though. The reason it was such a hard-line stance back then is because they were worried that baseball was going to drop in popularity because people weren't going to take the results seriously if they thought players were on the take. And I wonder if you guys think it'll affect the popularity of sports at all now, these different scandals that are coming out. Does it – or is it just, hey, man, we're so wrapped up in gambling on sports now, we don't care. You know, like, hey, it's all fun for all of us. But if you start...
Well, you're going to have to care if you think it's not on the up and up.
Right, like if you start really believing, man, I don't know but if this result is legitimate right. in this game, is that going to have a long-term effect on all these sports?
That's going to happen at some point. I mean, I don't know if this is the tipping point here with Ohtani, because even his guy I don't think was betting on baseball, so... I don't know if this is the tipping point. Yes, this is huge because it's the most visual guy that's involved in Major League Baseball right now, globally. But I think if we're going to get to a scandal where somebody was point-shaving or somebody was doing something in some sport, and maybe that's the tipping point. I don't think this is the tipping point. Baseball's been losing viewership forever. I mean, I think the reason that I hated it. We talked about it. I was texting Mike when we were on the air last week, and the Dodgers and Padres were playing in Korea. We opened the season in Korea. That's so freaking stupid that we're not doing it here, but it is what it is. I mean, they're doing everything they can globally to get viewership back on baseball with Ohtani being and the other pitcher for the Dodgers and all that stuff. This has to terrify them because it's the biggest guy in our sport.
Right. What if these allegations are true? Like, then what do you do?
Right.
Are you gonna ban him from baseball? I mean, like you said, Nate, the precedent has been set. Pete Rose got banned right. for life.
Now, he bet on baseball. You know, and so that, and he bet on games that his team was managing.
Right. Well,
there's
the difference is he wasn't an active player.
Yeah.
And consider, I mean, you know what I mean?
But he was a manager, right? He did it while he was managing. So
but this is the star of baseball.
Yeah. No, look, I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm just saying. And if
there's going to be a tipping
problem.
Point.
I mean, right. They got to be, the people in the league office got to be freaking out. But what we talked with Buster about last week, what graphic are they showing during games constantly now? Win probability.
Win probability. Win,
why are they doing that? Because
in-game live betting.
Oh, well, this says there's a 97% chance that the Royals are going to win this game.
Wonder
Let me
what
get
the
online
odds are.
And see what the odds are. Can I get a good, you know.
Right.
The reason they're doing that, because the whole thing that you want to do in television when you're showing a game is make people care about the game. Why do people care about NFL games that their team's not involved in? Because they got money on it. They got a fantasy team on it. All of a sudden, you care about all these games that don't even really affect your team. So they want people gambling on these. ESPN wants people gambling on the games because they're more likely to watch the end of the game.
I was sitting with some people watching. I haven't put a bet on any of the apps yet. And so it's very interesting to me to watch people bet NCAA basketball in game and to see how the lines change. Like,
this is a guy right here.
How many games are
you more likely to watch the end of?
I have
not. You got some action on
all of them.
Right? Yes, correct.
Right?
All of them. All of them.
It could be a 20-point blowout, and you're still interested.
Well, I'm like, sit down while you're watching a game. I had not. I mean.
Oh, no, I mean, I've been doing that all year.
Right, right. I have not had the pleasure of sitting with you and watching you operate during a game.
Kansas is beating Oklahoma by 22. There's no Oklahoma's going to come back here. I mean, there's no way they beat Oklahoma by 22. I mean.
So I was doing that the other night.
You got to find that peak.
It is. It is interesting. And how bad of a gambler was the Ohtani's interpreter that he lost $4.5 million?
My bad. It's like multiple deposits or withdrawals of $500,000. Like, I mean, I couldn't go to Vegas and spend a certain amount of money without me having to call Bank of America and saying, hey,
Is this really you?
No, I'm like, yeah, you need to lift this off my account.
8 times.
I had a buddy
I have the money. Let me spend it.
I had a buddy who was a casino executive in Vegas for a while, and they were showing us, they took us on a tour of the Caesars and some of those suites, like the ones from the movie, The Hangover, Ocean. You know? Ocean. And I asked the guy who was running it, how much does it cost to rent out this villa for the night, like 4 bedrooms on top of Caesar's Palace, you know? And he said, oh, we don't usually rent them out. We give these to the high money gamblers.
Yeah, how much you spend?
And I said, well, how much is a high money gambler? Like, how much are you losing or how much are you gambling to qualify for this place? They said, well, the people that play here usually have the capacity to lose about $8 million a day. Doesn't mean they lose $8 million every time. Like, sometimes they win, but that's their budget. That's right. Like when I go to the blackjack table and I got a $100 budget, that's their budget. There are people like that. You know, there are people that will gamble $8 million a day.
Or have the capacity.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're going there to do, you know. And so for somebody like Shohei Ohtani,
that's high capacity.
$4.5 million.
I'm a low capacity.
People know the stories of, like, Charles Barkley going to the, you know, going
well,
to the casino.
Well, you guys mentioned it the other day. I was going to text you in, like, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, how much money is he gambling away on a night in Vegas?
Why did he have to step away from the game? Him and Ryan Sandberg.
A couple reasons.
Weird. At the same time in Chicago.
A lot easier to kind of sweep that stuff under the rug in the 80s and 90s before all this stuff was just like, you know, there's digital tracking.
Well, that's what I was just
going
to say about the Ohtani, his interpreter bets. There's obviously a digital trail of what he bet on. I mean, the guy knows. So
we don't know these people.
Nope.
We know them on the field. Pretend you know these people, then you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I could give some other examples, but I won't. You know, but we've been in Kansas City long enough where we've seen crazy people. We've seen horribly tragic things happen with professional athletes where we just have zero idea what's going on in their private lives and who they really are and what they really do. And so when you start judging people on whether or not they're eligible or, you know, worthy of a Hall of Fame or anything else based on their private lives, good luck.
Yeah. That's a slippery slope to go down, for sure. I just think it's going to be really interesting because, like, how legit is this investigation going to be?
How deep do we want to dive?
Who's doing the investigation? You know, like the feds.
Geraldo Rivera.
Like, does MLB, like, if they do an investigation, do they really want to find the answers to this? Right. You know what I mean? Like, do they really want to know how deep this goes?
They sent in some Keystone cops.
It looks all good to us. Yeah.
Nothing wrong here. All right. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. You know what I'm really excited for? I mean, like, super excited for? April 3rd.
What's April 3rd, Steven?
I don't know. Everyone just figure it out. If I get one more effing email about this vote.
Oh, God. Oh. Let's not talk about that.
No one got it when I said April 3rd.
What's happening?
That's the day after the vote when it's over.
Oh.
What vote?
Where my mind wanders, I'm like, who are the Royals playing on?
Yeah, right, Thursday. I'm ready for Thursday. I was over last Friday. I was at Schmecca's Italian Sausage.
Attaboy.
Meeting with Frank.
Eat my sausage.
Picking up some delicious foods for our tailgate on Thursday.
You can get a Stephen St. John sausage. I've done it.
That is at the deli. Yeah. That is at the deli. I was actually at the sausage factory.
Did he show you how the sausage is made?
He did.
I bet he did.
You never know. You never want to see that.
He did that back at St. Pius when he was a student. Got in trouble.
They called Stephen the sausage factory back in the day.
Did they?
We do need to. I need to get your dad and a group together when the weather's a little bit nicer and sit out in the.
Do you really?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
that is always. That is always a splendid time, and we just wind your dad up and let him go.
Hey, before we get more into opening day, I want to remind people today I'll be with my friends at Compass Capital from 11 until 1 for a blood drive. You can donate blood for the American Red Cross today. The drive is from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at Compass Capital, located at 9800 Metcalf in Overland Park. I will be there from 11 until 1. And how about this? B&B Movie Theaters is giving away free movie vouchers to everyone who gives blood. If you can't sign up in advance, and you can do that, if you can sign up in advance, go to redcrossblood.org or call 800-733-2767, then search for zip code 66212, and then select the Compass Capital Drive. But if you can't sign up in advance, just stop by today from 11 until 4 at Compass Capital at 9800 Metcalf to give hope this spring for the American Red Cross and donate blood. There's a huge need for blood in our community, and you can help today. I will be there from 11 until 1.
If you see Jason Cootie over there, please tell him hello.
All right, then.
If you donate blood, you basically immediately save three lives. So
I'm a blood donor.
Not many things you can do where you can just walk outside and, oh, I'm going to save three people's lives today.
I have rare blood, so they call me every time.
What's your blood type?
I am A negative.
A negative. Like so good.
5.9%.
People, they need it. Can I tell you someplace I'm going to be tomorrow night, Stephen, while we're at it?
Sure.
I'm going to be at Hammer and Nails, which is a brand new classic style barbershop on 119th and Row. We're doing a guys' night out, 810 guys' night out. I'll be there from 4 to 6. The whole thing goes on from 4 to 9, though, and they're going to have all kinds of good deals. You can buy a gift card, pay $81, you get a $100 gift card. But while we're there, we're going to have food from Red Door Grill. It's right next door to the Red Door Grill at 119th. We're going to be giving away a foursome for golf. We're going to be giving away Sporting Kansas City tickets. There's going to be live band there. They're going to have drink specials because they have a full-service bar in the front. There's like a full-service barbershop on one side. There's a men's spa on the other side when you get your fingernails done and your pedicure and all this kind of cool stuff. And then they're going to have and they have a full bar in the front too. But they're going to have some tastings from Jay Rieger and Company and some other great brands. So come hang out tomorrow at Hammer Nails. Get your hair cut. You can get a shave there, whatever you want. Get some great deals. Sign up to win some prizes, and we'll be there tomorrow afternoon.
Bluma, sorry for the interruption by Nate, but let's get back to opening day. The rotation is set. There was a scare with Michael Wacha, I know it sounds like you're frightened, with a finger contusion, but he's going to be good to go. The rotation will be Cole Reagans Thursday, Seth Lugo Saturday, Brady Singer Sunday, and so that's for the opening series against the Twins, and then Michael Wacha.
Wacha, Wacha!
And fifth starter, Alec Marsh. So, what say you about that rotation?
I like it for now. I mean, it's probably going to change. Hopefully those guys...
I don't want it to change.
You hope not. I mean, I don't know the last time that we went through less than 10 starters throughout the course of a season with spot starts and all that stuff. It's probably been a couple years.
I'm glad they're not going to try to keep pushing that Jordan Lyles rock up the hill. You know?
Why not?
Well, because he was really bad last year.
He's really valuable last year.
I know. He ate innings.
Innings eater.
He threw me those innings back up.
You don't have to push that rock up hills. Other people will.
Well, I'm glad that the Royals aren't. You know, just because they're paying the guy money doesn't mean you should.
Well, we have other options now. We didn't really have any other options last year.
Yeah,
so with all the money that we're paying him,
there were other options. They could have put a jugs machine out there.
Wow. That's actually illegal.
There's no Boddicker out there.
It would have had the same ERA.
Wow.
You know, and he had some games he threw ball pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, but
he had
a
6.28 ERA.
I understand.
177 innings, so, you know.
I think Boddicker at his age, may have had a better ERA. Not as many innings, clearly.
Right. I'm just saying I'm glad that they – because I think Royals teams in the past – would say, well, we're paying this guy money. We got to get our money's worth out of it. And instead they said, no, we'll try to find a better option. And so I think that's another sign of an intent to try to win and not just to throw good money after bad. Or what is it, bad money after good? How's that phrase go?
You tell me.
The money's spent. You know, he's going to get what he gets. Right. So
sunk cost.
Yes, it's a sunk cost. So instead of, you know, trying to justify the spending, it seems like they're more interested in putting the best rotation out there that they can.
Yep.
And so I'm giving them credit for that. I'm not trying to pick on Lyles.
I want Reagans to be sharp on opening day, give us something to be excited about right out of the gate. Lugo did not have a great spring, so I'm a little worried about him moving forward. Singer threw the ball good yesterday. That was against our double-A team or minor league guys or whatever. But, I mean, I'd rather go out and throw good regardless of who you're, you know, playing against in spring training. You never know who you're going to get. So hopefully the intensity ramps up a little bit because now it counts. Should be a there's been more buzz, I think, this year than there has been the last couple years just around opening day. From my standpoint, people asking me about, you know, where we're going to be, where do you get tickets, do you have extra tickets. Weather's looking decent. I know today's cold and rainy, but Thursday's looking pretty good.
Is it going to be good, hopefully?
Yeah, it looks like high as 65 or something. I had it pulled up just a second ago.
Let's get Lezak on tomorrow, maybe. Give us an opening day forecast.
A little cool in the morning, but then I got to figure out when gates open that day. We'll get out there and get our tailgate set up. Some of the fantasy camp guys, Team Green, be out in Lot N. Come by and see us. We'll have some Schmeckas fire pit.
I'm sad I won't be out there to see you.
I am sad.
Nah, but I'm going somewhere that that I'll be having a great time. So I get to go see Julian or track meet. I've been seeing the good people of Smithville.
Oh, nice.
So I'll be monitoring everything.
Nice.
From afar.
From afar. What events is she in?
So last week she did the long jump and the 100. This week she did the long jump, the 4x100 and 4x200. So she got none of her running capabilities from me.
It always jacks with me because Missouri and Kansas high school softball are backwards.
That's right.
So she just finished softball in the fall.
Well, Selena played softball and basketball, and then Julia runs track. So yeah, but you know what keeps us busy? That's my social calendar.
It certainly does.
What what's you're most excited about? What with this team? Like on Thursday, you can't wait to see what.
Reagan's. I want to see Reagan's pitch. And I don't know if I've ever, even last year, there was maybe once I got to see him in person. I got a chance to watch it on TV and see the stuff. I'm looking forward to see it in person. I will try to be in my seat, which probably isn't going to happen.
Zero chance of that.
Yep. To at least be able to see him on the pump.
If you see one inning of his start,
I'll take
that would
under.
Be a shocking upset.
I'll take the under. I'll have to watch it on TV from a monitor somewhere in the stadium.
That's right.
I would guess, but. I really want to see him in person. And then, man, I saw a tweet the other day, just how many different players are on this roster 2024 versus our roster in 2023.
Good.
Did I see that this is 14 or 16 different players? I should have sent you that tweet when I saw that last week. But especially from bullpen and pitching-wise, I mean, it's a completely different lineup. But I'm excited about our lineup. I mean, I hate that Massey's hurt to start the season, but I'm excited. Nick Lofton, I like him. Got a chance to see him a little bit when we were down in Arizona in November. Chat with him a little bit. Hopefully he get an opportunity to play in the 10 days that Massey's going to be out. Maybe he solidifies himself as a guy in there. Mikel Garcia is going to take a step forward. I'm excited. This team's going to play hard. I didn't realize we went 7-22. Last April. We're starting the season a little bit early in March, but we need to get out of the gate way better than that to give ourselves a chance long term. And I'm excited about our relief corps. And we got some new bodies down there. I want to see how those guys fit in. I don't know who we're going to have close at the beginning. I guess Will Smith. Will Smith's probably the guy just based on experience. But a couple of those righties that we have some good stuff. And Shriver and Anderson. And MacArthur. So
if they're smart, when he comes in the game, they'll show the video of Will Smith walking on stage and slapping Chris Rock. Here comes Will Smith.
Or with him with all three of his World Series rings.
Yeah,
three different teams for the last 3 years.
So this is the projected lineup. Tell me if you have any issues with this. Now, of course, this is, like you said, without Michael Massey, who's on IL, this is Andy Rogers' projected lineup. Mikel Garcia leading off. Love it. Bobby Witt Jr. hitting second. Vinny Pasquantino hitting third. Salvi fourth. MJ Melendez in left field hitting fifth. Hunter Renfroe, right field, hitting sixth. She says that the likely starter at second base will be Adam Frazier, lefty, hitting seventh. Nelson Velasquez at DH hitting eighth. And then Kyle Isbell, center field, hitting ninth. Anything you'd change with that? You like Bobby Wood Jr. hitting second? You like Garcia hitting leadoff? You like Vinny in the three holes, Salvi hitting cleanup? Anything at all that you guys would adjust there? Come on, let's bitch about the lineup before game one. Come on.
I might have Salvi hitting behind Pasquantino, so Pasquantino gets some pitches.
He is. Vinny's third and Salvi's fourth.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. I like that.
They changed it that quick.
I might have Lofton in there instead of, you know, let's see what the young guys can do before we start putting in the veteran guys, you know. But excited for him to have an opening day start.
I'm excited about the top half of that lineup. The bottom half of the lineup, I think hopefully guys can get on base and, you know, make things difficult on the pitcher. To me, like, the thing that tilts this lineup as to whether it's a good one or a subpar one is what MJ Melendez becomes this year. Him hitting in that five spot, that's an important spot in the order. Right.
The top three make me feel things.
Oh, man.
Just being honest with you.
I'll take top four. I mean, I'm a big Salvi fan. I don't know why you don't like Salvi.
I love Salvi, but just he's not the level of hitter of Pasquantino, you know, Whitney Garcia.
Well, Velasquez can do anything near what he did in his little cameo for us last year with 14 home runs and limited at-bats to, you know, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there to at least be a threat of a home run in the lineup. That changes things as well.
They really need Melendez to take a step forward with the bat. If he does, that becomes a much better lineup.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.